I want to ask you, if you would, to join me in the 63rd Psalm, if you have not already done so, where the Lord has led my heart this evening for our message from His Word. As you turn to Psalm 63, I want you to catch right at the beginning the title of the psalm. Your Bibles should have a title just above the first verse listed there in your copy of God's Word. The title of the 63rd Psalm is this: a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. The title of Psalm 63 tells us everything we need to know about David's situation, his outlook, his circumstances when he was writing this psalm. David was in the wilderness. And it wasn't because he was on vacation. He was in a place of time in great need in his life. He wasn't there for rest, for relaxation or rejuvenation. He was there experiencing a time of tremendous need. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a place in your life, not a geographic location, but have you ever been in a situation in your life where you would say you had tremendous need? Right now, sitting on a couch, a recliner, relaxing in the privacy of your own home, you may very much feel like you're in a wilderness. It's been a very warm day here in Rocky Mount. Maybe many of you have even switched your air conditioning on. You're cool. You're comfortable. Your refrigerator stocked. You have all the toilet paper you need. But yet, you may feel very much like you're in wilderness. Because of a challenge or a difficulty, or even just the circumstances that we're all facing right now. Restricted movement, feeling confined to our own homes, going to the store in a position we've never been in life, looking for things that we've always taken for granted and not being able to find them, being concerned about spending time with anyone, coming too close to other people, even being concerned about spending time with our own loved ones. And maybe you feel like you're in a wilderness. Times of great need in our life can feel like wilderness experiences. And if we are not careful, wilderness experiences become places and times of barrenness in our lives. It becomes a time of little to no growth, either just personally or spiritually. It becomes a time of little or no fruit spiritually. Because we are so consumed with ourselves, our circumstances, our challenge, our situation, our thoughts are consumed with what we are facing, with what we are going through, that it's not necessarily that we don't want to reach out to somebody else, we just simply don't think to. Because we're so consumed with our own situation. If we're not careful, wilderness experiences can become a place and a time of barrenness in our lives. But as we read Psalm 63, we find that that was not true for David. He was in the wilderness. He was in a time of tremendous need in his life. But David was able to transform the wilderness experience into a worship experience. Like David, we too can see that happen in our lives. As we examine Psalm 63, I want us to think about transforming the wilderness that we find ourselves in. A time of great need in our lives into a worship experience. As we study Psalm 63, let's extract four actions David took that helped him transform the wilderness experience into a worship experience. Follow along in your Bibles as I read Psalm 63. And then we'll pray and ask for God's help. Let's read what God's Word says. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed, and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore, in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Would you join me in prayer? And let's ask God to help us as we look at his word this evening. Lord, we do praise and thank you that you are an almighty, good and gracious God. Lord, thank you that we can come to you at any time for any reason and know that you see the end from the beginning, that you can and you will meet our needs right where we are. Help us, provide for us, and meet our needs. Lord, as we are gathered around the community as a church body, I ask that you would speak to our hearts as we spend time in your precious word. Meet the needs of each one of us. And we will be sure to praise and thank you for it. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen. Again, I want us to look at four actions that David took to transform his wilderness experience into a worship experience. Follow along with me as we look at these reasons this evening. Number one, I want you to see that if we're going to transform our wilderness experience into a worship experience, we need to desire God. We need to desire God. In verses 1 and 2, we see David express a desire for God. Notice his declaration. He opened his prayer with a declaration of faith in God. He said, "O God, thou art my God." David had accounted that God, the I am that I am, Jehovah Yahweh, was his God. It was so at Jerusalem in the palace. As David was king, ruling from his palace, having victory over his enemies, at peace. As David was in prosperity, David trusted that God was his God. But it was even so in the wilderness. David's view of God did not change whether he was in the palace or in the wilderness. David's view of God did not change whether he was in prosperity or poverty. David's view of God did not change whether he was experiencing great success or great failure. Whether he had everything he wanted or felt as if he had nothing that he needed. David's view of God did not change. God was his God. By the name of God that David used, he depicted God as the strong one, the mighty one. As God was in Zion, so he was in the desert. The songwriter said it well in the song when he said, "The God on the mountain is still God in the valley." God was David's sufficiency, and David declared that. His faith in God motivated a specific response in his life. He said, "I'm going to seek God early." That is, David was saying from the very dawn, the beginning of the day, he was going to seek God. It speaks of an earnestness, an immediateness. He who truly wants to seek God will do so now. The Bible scholar Adam Clark said it this way: "What first lays hold of the heart in the morning is likely to occupy the place all the day." It was David's heart to seek God early. Psalm 5:3, the Bible declares, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." Psalm 55:17, "Evening and morning at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Can I encourage you to do something? And I've been tempted to do the same thing that you do. Wake up in the morning and grab my phone and check the news first thing. See what the latest is. See what's at the top of the headlines. Can I encourage you? Rather than grabbing your phone, flipping on the TV, and checking what the latest headlines are first thing, determine to seek God first. Rather than looking to see what the newest headlines are, cry out to God. Grab your Bible. Seek God first. David made a declaration of his faith in God, and he also expressed his desire. David here shares with us that he desired God more even than the needs of his own body. He speaks of being in a dry and thirsty land where there was no water. We think of water as necessary to life. Food as necessary to life. Needing that sustenance, that nourishment to help us, to strengthen us, to help our bodies exist and function. But as David pens these words, he made clear that he desired God more even than the needs of his body. In the wilderness where he was hungry and thirsty, David's deepest desires were spiritual, not physical. David, in that way, is a wonderful picture in the Old Testament of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You remember, especially in John chapter 4, where Jesus stopped at the well outside Sychar on his way from Judea to Galilee, passing through Samaria. He was tired and he was hungry. The disciples went on into the village to get food. While they were gone, Jesus carried on a conversation with a Samaritan woman. When the disciples returned with food for Jesus, they encouraged Jesus, "Jesus, here is food, take and eat." And Jesus said to them, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." And the disciples thought, "Well, he must have already eaten. Someone else already brought him some food. And he's already filled himself. I've already eaten something that you weren't aware of." But Jesus said, "No. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Jesus' deepest desire was spiritual, not physical. David here in the Old Testament pictures Christ. Notice the depths of David's desire. It consumed the whole of his being. He speaks of his flesh and his soul in this text, thirsting for and longing for God. This speaks of an insatiable desire or longing for one of the most essential supports of life. For David, that was God. Why did David desire God so much? Look back at verse 2. He said, "To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary." David desired to experience God as he had experienced him before. The word sanctuary here in verse 2, it means a sacred place. The first time the word is used in the Bible is in Exodus chapter 3 when Moses came to the burning bush. You remember there in Exodus chapter 3, Moses had seen an interesting sight up on the mountain, and he went. And he found a bush that was burning but was not consumed. And he heard a voice speaking out of the bush, the voice of God, "Take off your shoes, for the place where you stand is holy ground." What made that place holy ground? It was the presence of God. Later on, this same word is used to describe the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle in the temple. The sanctuary wasn't just the outer courtyards. It wasn't the whole complex. It wasn't even the holy place, the first room that you entered of the tabernacle or of the temple. But this word was especially set aside for the Holy of Holies, that place behind the veil, where God's Shekinah glory, his presence, dwelt above the mercy seat. What made that place holy? It was the presence of God. So what was David saying that his desire was here in this passage? David wanted to be in the presence of God. He understood that even in the wilderness of Judea, he could still experience God's presence. David's spiritual appetite for God in the wilderness came from his worship experiences in the sanctuary. He realized that even in the wilderness, I can have an experience of God's presence just as if I were in the sanctuary. And friends, can I encourage you? Yes, we want to gather together here at our church building and facility to worship God together. But friends, you can worship God there in your home. You can worship God at any time, in any place, as you live your life. You can, even in the midst of the circumstances and the challenges that we are facing, you can have a worship experience. You can experience the presence of Almighty God right there. Warren Wiersbe wrote this thought: it is our regular worship that prepares us for the crisis experiences of life. It is our regular worship that prepares us for the crisis experiences of life. Have you ever experienced the power and glory of being in the very presence of God? That is an experience you may have whether you are on the mountain or in the valley. Even if you're in the wilderness. If you want to transform your wilderness experience into a worship experience, desire God. And then secondly, praise God. Praise God. In verses 3 through 5, David expressed a heart of praise to the Lord. He says, "Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Therefore will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." Here was David in the wilderness, in the desert place, a place in a time of tremendous need in his life, and yet David said, "I am going to praise God." David was not dependent on temporal or material things or circumstances, but on the character and works of the living God. And friend, may that be true of us. May our worship of God, may our praise of God not be dependent on the circumstances or on the material and temporal things of this life. But may we be able to truly worship and praise God, recognizing the character and works of the living God. If that is the basis of our praise, then we can praise God at any time and in any place. In the wilderness, David longed for God, and he knew that his longing would be completely and overwhelmingly satisfied. How did David know that? Notice the reason. He says, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life." David had experienced the loving kindness, the compassion, the mercy of God. He said that that experience was better even than life itself. One author said it this way: "For life without the love of God is nothing else than death. A man that has no share in the love of God is dead while he lives. All the enjoyments of life, health, riches, honor, friends, and the like are nothing without the love of God. The meanest temporal blessings with it are preferable to the greatest without it. It lasts longer than life, and therefore must be better than that. Death cannot separate from it. It continues for all eternity. What would you rather have? The greatest temporal and material things of this life without God's love? Or the least of temporal and material things, but with God's love? David said, I'm going to praise you, God, even in the wilderness, because of your loving kindness, which is better to me than even life itself. Have you ever stopped to think about what life would be without the loving kindness of God? Without the knowledge Jesus loves me? Without a recognition of the truth, for God so loved the world? What would this life be, and what would it mean if it were not for the love of God? Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Romans 8:35-39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The songwriter said it this way, I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. What reason did David have to worship God in the wilderness, to praise God in the wilderness? The loving kindness of God. Notice his response. By trusting in the character and works of the living God, rather than temporal things or circumstances, David was able to praise God. In verse 3, we read that he praised God with his lips. This speaks of an address made with loud tones. I'm reminded again of Paul and Silas, who sang praises at midnight in prison. And the other prisoners heard them, Acts 16:25. He praised God with his lips. They praised God and sang songs of praise even in the prison out loud so that others could hear them. David blessed God and lifted up his hands in God's name. It portrays a position for blessing God and praying to God, but it is the act and not the position that is important. He worshiped, he praised God, he offered blessing and prayer to God of praise and thanksgiving. In verse 5, the Bible tells us that he praised God with joyful lips. The praise in verse 3 speaks of an address made directly to God. This praise in verse 5 speaks of an address made about God to others. So there's both this action of praising God directly, but also speaking about the goodness of God to others around us. What great challenges about praising God. something that we make known, offering to God the sacrifice of our praise, that is, Hebrews 13, with our lips, with our words. Spending time in prayer, not just asking for needs, but praising God for the needs He's already met, for who He is and what He does. And then, not just offering praise directly to God, but praising God even in the presence of others, to others. If you want to transform your wilderness experience into a worship experience, desire God. Praise God. And then thirdly, remember God. While David was here in the wilderness, in verses 6 or 8, we find that he determined to remember God. Remembering God means to recall what He has said or done in the past and applying it to our present situation. Can you think back to times that God has done something for you in the past? That God has met a need in the past? That God has met you right where you were and accomplished for you what you could not accomplish for yourself, provided for you in some way, did something for you to show you that He was there, that He loved you, that He cared about you and could meet your need? Have you ever experienced that? Do you remember what His Word teaches you? Do you remember all the promises that He's made to you? God is not I was or even I will be. God is I am. God's character must be recognized and applied in our present situation. When specifically did David speak of remembering and meditating upon God? He speaks here in the night watches. In the Jewish reckoning, this would encompass the hours from sunset to sunrise. I think that that is the time that we are to rest. That's the time of sleep. But isn't it true in our lives that that time, nighttime from sunset to sunrise, is the time that our fears and our worries are magnified? There's something about the night in which our fears and our worries are magnified. There's something about the day. Yes, we may be struggling in turmoil. Yes, we may experience the fears and the anxieties, but there's something about the day that they're not as present. But as soon as we lay our heads down in the night, they're magnified. They keep us awake. But that is the time that David determined to remember and meditate on the Lord. Whether his troubles took sleep from him or woke him in the night, he immediately turned his thoughts to the Lord. One writer wrote these words, "When sleep departs from our eyes through pain or sickness of body, or any disturbance of the mind, our souls, by remembering God, may be at ease and repose themselves. Perhaps an hour's pious meditation will do us more good than an hour's sleep would have done anyway." Because David turned his thoughts to the Lord, David felt secure because he rested in the safety of God's arms. Through his remembrance and meditating on the Lord, he committed himself to submissive faith and active pursuit of God. Verse 8, which says, "My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me," describes his union or his connection with God. The same verb is used in Genesis 2:24 when God says that a man is to cleave unto his wife. That's the word David used here. That's how serious he was about his connection with God. It was as strong as the union that God intends to be between a husband and his wife. In John 14, 21 through 27, Jesus said that the actions of submissive faith and active pursuit of God are the keys to unlocking his peace that keeps our hearts from trouble and fear. Can I ask you, as you've been in the wilderness, have you taken time to remember God? To think about the demonstrations of his goodness to you in the past. To meditate on the truth of his word. Whatever your struggle may be, remember God. And then finally, if we're going to transform our wilderness experience into a worship experience, we should determine to desire God, to praise God, to remember God, and finally, to rejoice in God. In verses 9 and 10, David spoke again about enemies that were pressing in, that were surrounding him, ready to overcome him. But then he transitioned and turned his heart in verse number 11 and said, "But the king shall rejoice in God." The king shall rejoice in God. When you're in that wilderness experience, when you're facing that difficulty or that challenge that you're struggling with, you're in that place of tremendous need, make a determination to rejoice in God. Ultimately, David knew that God would provide for the wilderness. And so he determined to rejoice in God. What did Ron Hamilton write in one of his more familiar songs? "God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying his servant and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord though your testing seems long. In darkness he giveth a song. I could not see through the shadows ahead, so I looked at the cross of my Savior instead. I bowed to the will of the Master that day. Then peace came and tears fled away. Now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens his children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in his care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold." Never forget this truth. Every wilderness experience may be transformed into a worship experience, which makes it a victorious experience. That wilderness that you find yourself in does not need to be a place of loss, of barrenness. But it can be a place of fruit, of victory. A life of worship now will prepare you to transform the crisis experiences of your life into worship experiences. Desire God, praise God, remember God, and rejoice in God wherever you are. And you can see those wilderness experiences transformed into worship experiences. Would you bow your heads with me? For just a moment, let's pause before the Lord. Are you in a wilderness? We probably all could say that in some way we are right now. We don't know exactly what tomorrow holds. We don't know how long this current situation globally will continue. We don't know all the ways that it will affect our lives. There are many who were already experiencing the wilderness even before this began. How can this wilderness experience be a place of victory and fruitfulness rather than barrenness? Let me encourage you. Desire God. Seek Him first. Praise God. His loving kindness, His love has been demonstrated to you, is available to you. Remember God. Think back on all the times before that He has met you right where you were and met the need. Remember the truths of His Word. Cling to them dearly. And then rejoice in God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You and praise You for Your goodness and Your grace. Thank You that You can transform every wilderness experience into a worship experience. Oh God, help us to not see this time be a time of barrenness, a time of defeat, but help us to see it transformed into a time of fruitfulness and victory. Help us to put into practice Your truth that's been declared to us. And we will praise and thank You for it. In Jesus' name.